we have got a lot going on because Gene Baldick is here, which is always good news. You had an interesting conversation, I'm sure, yesterday with Dr. Stephen Halkiotis.
I did. What a lovely introduction that is. It's just it's always good news when I get here. I'll put a stopper to that.
Well, there you go. You can write that one down, and then you'll know every time you need a little extra boost.
Aaron, if you're listening, if you're streaming this on the internet, through your smartphone while you're driving to
which
the
I'm
beach
sure he is.
And turning around at the Bonner Bridge or whatever it is you're doing, please turn off your cell phone. You are on vacation. You should not be listening to this. We love you. You don't need to. We've got this covered, man.
Well, I don't think he was tuning in before right now, but I think he wanted to tune in just for this because
he knows that this is the fun part of the week.
Well, he knows it's time for Kids Q and that you've been looking forward to this.
I'm really nervous
about
this.
We're gonna spring this on.
Okay,
This is going to be a completely organic response here, but this is a whole new segment we've got here on WCHL 97.9 Hill designed to promote fun and healthy communication between parents and children. WCHL's Kid Question of the Week. Kids Q airs every Wednesday and Friday at 3:30 during the Aaron Keck Show, which has been hijacked today by Blake Hodge. It's presented by PTA Thrift Shop and the brand new YouthWorks on Main Collaborative, the beautiful community home they've got for some great child-focused nonprofits, including Youth Forward, Triangle Bike Works, Musical Empowerment, Skajaja, Healthy Girls Save the World. They've got a lot going on over there. So today's question that you can pose to your child as you're riding around there listening, if you had to turn into a farm animal, what animal would you pick and why?
If you had to turn into a farm animal. Okay.
And we didn't specify the farm here. The type of farm, there's a lot
of farm?
You know.
So it could be dairy cows, could be chickens, could be.
Yeah. So you've got a whole world to explore here.
You know, I have to go. This is just almost too easy, but I'm going to have to go with, believe it or not, a spider, because a spider had one of the biggest influences in my childhood.
Was it a fear?
One particular spider in particular was Charlotte, who was a good speller.
Yes.
She could spell some pig and terrific. All of the other farm animals were organized in her cause to save Wilbur. And
it
really was a great inspiring story and an inspirational spider who, by the way, also brought home a difficult message that a lot of farmers do teach their kids through farming, which is nobody lives forever. And have a million babies before you die, I guess, right?
They're good at helping around the house.
Yeah. Everybody has a job on a farm. Everybody's working on a farm. But also, it was, I thought, a great childhood story about the cycle of life and about, the importance of standing up for your friends. This is just a great childhood memory of that book. I love that book.
Well,
I will continue to love that book.
You put a lot more thought into this right off the top of your head than I did, and I got a little preview of this because I immediately started that. Well, I don't know where we're going because I'm really focused on the what type of farm I'm on based on. I'm going to change it. So barn cat was one that I thought of.
Oh, barn cat, that's
cause,
good.
Because you just don't. I don't have to answer to anybody.
That's
I'm
right.
Just doing my own
the
thing.
Ultimate freedom. Food just shows up.
Just there.
Just catch a mouse here. Catch a mouse.
Take care of myself.
Yeah. Man, that's actually a good one.
I don't like cats.
And you don't like cats,
so I'm a little bit conflicted about wanting to be a barn cat if I had the option. But I do think if I had to be a farm animal, that would be what I would pick.
Well, that's a job too. Being a barn cat,
a
job.
You gotta
get fired from that job. the little Friskies might not show up if you don't bring a mouse out once in a while.
Yeah.
My cat is a house cat who is a cat with an attitude. Everybody
Are
works.
There other types
everybody,
of cats?
No, there really isn't. That's a good point. Everybody works for her. We all work for her. We all take turns being the door person.
Well, it's working out well.
And it does work out. She keeps the dog in line, even though the dog was there first.
Oh.
I really still don't understand how that works. But she'll bring a mouse once in a while. She'll just walk around on the deck with a skink in her mouth.
Just to show
just
you.
Like.
Yeah.
You know, I'm working out here.
Still got it.
You people are in there goofing off in the air conditioning, and I'm out here working. I just don't know how you guys earn your keep.
That is always the most interesting thing of whenever whenever they do get something.
Yeah.
You got to show it off.
Yeah, its display is everything. I'm not, is Donald Trump actually a cat? That might be true.
That might be the, a lot of bristling here.
That might be true, although
dealing with a lot of other people.
The claws are not real, apparently. We certainly learned this week.
We should talk about other things, writing a list
of all the things that have happened this week, and I thought of bringing it. I only had a ream of paper and ran out.
It's hard.
I could not believe the sheer volume of stories that if it had happened in any previous administration would have driven the news cycle for a month at a time.
I was thinking about that with, get up this morning, and for some reason I did not find the energy to stay awake last night and watch this vote. But the first thing I saw this morning was the hand of McCain.
Right.
And the dramatic pause.
To get the clerk's attention.
And then the quick thumbs down and walk away.
And you said, Roman Coliseum.
Well, what I was thinking about this is, I don't know how long it's going to be now before McCain being heralded as, the guy that ended this now, before he does something else that you're just like, well, what? How does that reconcile with it? Because people had this, a fantasy, really, is what it was, of him coming in from getting diagnosed with brain cancer.
Right.
And having a moment of realization of saying, we can't do this because we need to allow everyone health care. Now, that's still not what he was saying.
It's just completely unrealistic that he would have done that.
But for him to still end up being the one ultimately to vote against this, and I say that because, which is by no means meant to discount Senator Collins and Senator Murkowski from Alaska, who were just staunchly against this the whole time.
Right.
So they deserve more credit than all the other ones that have wavered along the line and voted for this.
They put all the pressure on
this.
The others.
Yeah. So that was one of the most interesting. I've watched that video so many times today because there's always something else in the background that you didn't notice before.
Right.
Of Bernie nudging the senator next to him in a
saying, "Watch
look
this.
At this."
Yes. Yeah. Right.
And then the little bit of applause actually breaking out before Schumer had to shut that down. Have you seen anything like that that you can recall?
Absolutely not. And I mean, I think maybe there was something almost similar, but it went the other way when they were. There was an act that was supposed to, I think, extend the ACA. Not the ADA, the Americans with Disabilities Act. And Bob Dole was there on the floor of the Senate, which is a privilege given to him, for obvious reasons. He was there in a wheelchair, hoping that he would be there to congratulate whoever had, given the vote to put it over the top and cause this extension to happen, and it didn't happen. I just thought, that really was the other side of that dramatic moment on the floor.
Yeah.
But no, what I loved was watching McCain walk over and just put his arm around Dianne Feinstein and just sort of blatantly say, that was just a human moment, no matter what anybody thinks of McCain. I thought that what McCain did is, and what arguably did come from the clarity that did come from his diagnosis, is that he came back and he said, "Now is the time for me to step up and lecture my colleagues about what is wrong in the institution." Mm. And I could not have agreed more with every word he said about what has gone completely off the rails in the institution of the Senate, reminding them they are not subordinates to the president, that they are his equal, and that, that they have a job to do and they have absolutely not been doing it. And I just think that, above all else, almost including his family, that John McCain loves the Senate and he is definitely an institutionalist who can see that whether he will name him or not, Mitch McConnell is almost certainly the most disastrous majority leader in the U.S. Senate in 100 years. I just don't know how anybody could argue that.
And it's clear that McCain has an affinity for what some may view as those like archaic kind of procedures and policies that you go through. But there's a reason that the Senate worked its way into being declared the greatest deliberative body in the world. There's a lot of work that goes into that.
Exactly. And I thought he made a substantive argument for why that is and exactly what piece by piece has been taken away, including this thing about it used to be you'd introduce a bill and whoever was presiding would say without objection, so ordered, and it would go forward for debate. And Mitch McConnell is the one who persistently, since he came into authority and before, would raise his hand, I object, and would make that go to a vote. And that was his obstruction technique that he began on Inauguration Day in 2009. And I think that I really think that the big story here is the abject failure of Mitch McConnell as a leader in the U.S. Senate.
I mean, it's been 7 months now of this administration where Republicans have House, Senate, and the White House. And this was a big thing to try to tackle.
Look how you wish it away. It's six months. It's six months on the 20th of July. But it just feels like 7 years. I realize that. I'm sympathetic.
But, you know, this was a big thing to try to tackle from the beginning. And in 6 months.
And they felt comprehensively, like it took a long time because they had all these years to actually be working on a substantive plan of some kind.
And McConnell's speech after that, I just couldn't help but find some moments of talking about the endless work that they had put into this. And then I thought about how many hearings and press conferences and everything else that were had debating
all the
ACA whenever it was going, the endless work that had been
put in. That reminds me, remember that song? No. That's what that work is.
And also, the song. Whenever he turned and said, I think now is the appropriate time to hear their ideas, talking about the Democrats in the Senate.
It's awfully decent of him.
Right.
Now that we've tried everything else.
Now that we obviously can't get anything done, what are your ideas?
Who said that great quote about Americans will always do the right thing as long as, right after they've tried everything else? that is exactly right. And then during the same period, you have the arrival of Anthony Scary Moocher.
Oh God!
In the White House,
he's getting after it there. He's made a lot of headlines in a week.
Foul-mouthed mutt, if ever there was one. And believe me, everybody in Cambridge, Massachusetts, is asking for a repeal of his degree from Harvard. I mean, Harvard Law School, they want their degree back. They are checking his grades and finding out how he stole a diploma from there. Because he is not a good representative of anywhere he claims to have come from.
So I think that's one of the things that we've seen the most maybe with this administration is the people that have been so far outside of the structure and the policy and everything else of working within a governmental body and then bringing in everyone from the outside. There was a Margaret Brennan from CBS. I was watching CBS this morning today saying this is, you know, she had a past relationship of covering Scaramucci.
That's his name. Hashtag Scaramucci. So close
during his Wall Street days. So, this would not be something that you would be surprised to hear in that setting. And it was just that he hasn't made that transition well of working within the decorum that is typical of a federal administration.
Oh, my. And, you know, when it started out with him at the podium saying, yes, I've accepted the job as the communications director for the White House, and no, I can't speak for the President of the United States. And I went, that was my first thing, and I thought, you know, here's a guy, he's got a nice cut of his suit, he's got a great haircut. What is wrong with him that he's going to make a statement like that in this job? Why would you get a salary? Well, it turns out they're not going to pay him a salary. So I guess that's okay.
Handed with the little kiss to the media.
Kisses.
Which, you know, it's an interesting time.
It's the Jersey Shore way of saying, I won't say that on the radio.
Well, this is a huge blow, obviously. This has been 7 years in the making we're going to repeal and replace. We're going to repeal and replace. And right. Clearly,
and
they
it
weren't.
It was an empty promise from the beginning.
Clearly, they yeah. weren't. And that was what was repeated last night, was that we had told our constituents that we would try. I don't remember a whole lot of we're going to try and we're going to repeal and replace.
No, we're going to do it. Yeah.
And we're going to do it quick. Because you know what? You had 7 years to work something up.
Mm-hmm.
So to not have used that time. Getting a plan ready to roll out,
well,
I
know,
think, is more surprising.
Our guy McConnell there told on himself because he said, and you know, we didn't really think we were going to get a chance, but you know, we got the surprise result in the election, and it turned out to be this opportunity. And I thought, well, that is put diplomatically.
Yeah, I think that's one of the most interesting things.
These guys had all palm prints on their foreheads on election night.
Yeah.
Oh, no, now we're going to have to do something.
Because they all voted, I say all, I think there may have been one or two that didn't vote, but like whatever they had control of the Senate with Obama and the White, they sent this same legislation to him on multiple occasions to repeal the law.
Yeah, because no, they had the luxury of knowing it would be a veto.
You know it was going to be a veto.
It was going nowhere.
The same exact legislation coming through now, and they can't get the votes for it. But we did see the House seemingly give up on health care and then scramble back together, throw something together just so they could volley it over to the Senate. So is this the end of this in your
Yeah,
do
it
you
is.
Think this
it is?
Is,
and I'll tell you why. If you were Mitch McConnell and somebody came to you and said, listen, I got this great idea. Listen, you know, I know we thought this was dead, but here's a new idea for how we can do repeal and replace. Would you listen to him at all? Would you not put that person's fingers in the hinges of the door and then slam the door shut? So there's no way.
Yeah.
No way he's taking it up.
Because if they did it now, it would really have to go all the way back to the beginning of the drawing board.
It has to go back to the beginning. Yeah, and the main thing is, look, they're not going to take up the House bill.
No.
And McCain, this is the arcane part. You really can't pass stuff and then rely on conference committee to write the bill.
No.
To write the substantive bill. And unless you pass a substantive bill, which can't be done because of the split in their GOP, philosophically. You're not going to get Ted Cruz and Susan Collins on the same bill. So you can't do it. That's been their major problem with this promise all along. They were making an absolutely ridiculous promise. Now, I've also said all along, I thought Donald Trump, ironically, might be the guy who could get, you know, a fix or get us closer to single payer, because all of this stuff would exhaust itself and then there would be a bipartisan fix that would move closer to public option, control of drug prices, and reinsurance for states to be more stable in the markets and so forth. That's where the future is, and that's what's going to happen next.
I still think back to his meeting with the Australian Prime Minister, where he said, well, y'all have better health care than we
do. You have a better health care system than we do. Right! I mean, if there were the votes in the Congress for single payer, he would sign that in a minute. You know why? It would be better, and it would be cheaper, and it would be something that would save taxpayers a lot of money. He could say, I made good on my promise, and everybody would forget the repeal-replace nonsense, because the outcome is the bottom line. Come on.
So we'll see what they try to tackle next. So it was supposed to be this and then tax reform,
which is going to be almost impossible
almost
now.
Almost as
because
much of a bear.
The whole carrot for them with repeal and replace was that they were going to be able to implement a gigantic, nearly trillion-dollar tax cut that was going to pay for the tax reform.
And now
they don't have it.
Well,
as well they shouldn't.
While all of that has been going on, there's plenty of local stuff going on that you're delving into on the weekend program there. So what's coming up?
What an interesting segue, because I talked to our good friend Dr. Steve Halkiotis, the chairman of the Orange County School Board. We had an interesting and wider ranging conversation than I might have first thought. One of the things that we talked about that is so parallel to this is that being an advocate for something is very, very different from being a person responsible for governance. And I think that what we learned is that the folks who have been actively urging the school board to ban the Confederate flag have been very, very successful advocates.
Mm-hmm.
They've gotten their cause out into the public mind,
mm-hmm.
and the school board has been appropriately cautious and deliberate in their review of that issue, and they have gone by what's legal and what's fair and appropriate and what will give kids the best educational experience. And it was a really interesting interview, and I can't wait to have him back because, you know, I could talk to him all day.
He's never had an unquotable moment in his life either,
right.
I don't believe.
Honest to God.
So,
yeah, he was talking about being a teacher, and I said, well, I recalled that I was ran into him last week or so over at Duke Hospital, and mm-hmm. he was getting off the elevator. Somebody came up and hugged his neck, and I said to his wife, you know, I just know that that's a former student hugging your husband's neck. And it was. It was somebody from quite a long time ago in Orange County schools. That happens to him all the time.
He's
a very memorable teacher,
yeah,
I'm sure.
He's been around for a long time,
yep.
and been at every level of public education,
right.
in Orange County.
And we talked
so.
About his being a county commissioner and some of his achievements there and
yeah.
what were the tough calls. So he's
so
seen it all.
With this new policy that they'll be voting on next month, it expands beyond what was originally passed by the school board and then sent back to the committee that was
right.
talking about things that were racially intimidating.
Right.
They extended the protected classes beyond race to
right.
include sex, gender, color,
right.
religion, and several other things that I'm not remembering.
Right,
off the
orientation
top of my head.
Yeah. And to be sure and protect LGBTQ students. And, you know, that's one of the things we talked about is that is what a peculiar juxtaposition it is that this would be coming up to be reviewed. They did put that language in, which caused a little bit of turmoil at the meeting that
mm-hmm.
it looked like possibly they were trying to solve every problem through this prism. But actually, he said, you know, in light of the president's tweet about trans soldiers,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's that much more important that at every level of government where you have an opportunity to protect students, in this case, and citizens generally, that local politicians who are closest to the situation, closest to the populations they serve, they really need to step up and do whatever they can. So I think they're going to end up with a good policy.
Yeah, so a vote on that, and they believe that they'll be able to waive the need for a second reading and vote on that and get it done here August 14th at their
That's
next
right.
meeting before
right.
school starts on the 28th.
And, of course, the main thing is that those principals, and he really
yeah.
emphasizes the
yeah.
principals have to be able to stand on that policy and execute it consistently and
it's a lot
clearly.
Of training a lot
clearly,
of training between
yeah.
now and the start of the school
right,
year so
right.
we'll
they
see
can
how
do
that
it.
Goes
you know come on the Marines could do it they can do it
Gene Bolk thank you so much we appreciate it
thanks a lot Blake